Ask Prabhu some question.
Well, there is another question from our anonymous provider. I heard that if neophyte devotees go for preaching, they might provoke a hostile mood from the listener, who may express offensive words against Krishna consciousness. Then the preacher will have to share this karma. Is that true? And how should we deal with this risk in preaching?
Well, once someone in a situation like that, perhaps a lady complained about the devotees and their fervor, their intensity, their, you know, being assertive almost to the point of aggressive, so many things. And but Prabhupada defended them, saying that, you know, what they've got is so valuable, and they want to maintain a connection with that, and they're very sincere. And he was more or less saying, please forgive them if they were overzealous in their presentation. Right? We know Gadadhar Das, who's not a neophyte devotee, Heart and Halo, the halo of Heart and Halo, Gadadhar Pandit being Bhav, Gadadhar Das being Kanti, or duty, as the case may be. And, but he's what Gurudev would call a simple-hearted devotee, and he approached the Kaji, however you prefer, like the, I think it's like mayor. It's not governor, but like mayor, right? And Gadadhar Das said, you know, he insisted upon him taking Krishna Nam. And the Kaji saying, you know, I'm a Muslim, you know, why ask me to take Krishna Nam? You know, we're not chanting Krishna Nam, we have... But if you come back at another time, I'll try to accommodate you. He said, why come back? You've taken Krishna Nam. Just by saying, why should I take Krishna Nam? Remember, there is a copy center, you may know, in San Francisco in the Bay Area called Krishna Copies. And once some man was walking down the street in Union Square, and he said to me, he goes, where is Krishna? I said, you're so fortunate to ask that question. He's saying, but I heard there's another street, but where is Krishna? I said, well, actually, you don't realize your good fortune in voicing this question. So, but on, I mean, to deal with the question at face value, saying that there's some level of misrepresentation and it draws an offensive reaction, and then is that person, they have some responsibility, sure. You know, where I'm, interestingly, Srila Guru Maharaj invokes the 10 offenses, where it says not to, you know, reveal the glories of the holy name to the faithless. So there are instances, I don't want to go into very specific details, it's not so palatable, but just say, devotees are trying to do something, he's saying they should be cautious. otherwise, if dealing with someone in such a way as we cause an offensive reaction, then some responsibility is there. But that said, our conclusion then is that, oh, so better not to preach than run the risk of causing others to commit offense and thereby causing yourself to go to hell. Right? The preacher, aspiring preacher, they're prepared to go to hell. Right? The Prabhupada would say, they take risks. We take a risk in a public assembly in saying things that people may mock, scoff at, disbelieve, or even challenge. We take that risk because there may be someone in that group who it's resonating in their heart. And it reminds me of the Janardan Mars telling me about the famous Mexican, I guess, freedom fighter, Pancho Villa. And sometimes he gave a command like to kill all the people in a particular village. And people said, but some of them are innocent. And so how we don't know which ones. He said, God knows that. God knows which ones are innocent. I'm not recommending this, but it's just a particular point of view to support the idea that if he knows who is innocent, then he knows what is in the heart of these devotees. On a simpler, non-offensive level, but just some, you know, an example is given about the not qualified person saying, you know, it's Vishnave and Vishnaya. So they use the wrong word in expressing their praise of the Lord. But this is where it's mentioned, Bhavagrahi Janardana, that Krishna, he's bhav consumer, a heart consumer. When it says, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati, tadaham bhakta upaharitam ashnami prayan tatmanaha. Saying, offer me love and devotion, leaf, flower, fruit, water, etc. But with love and devotion, it's not that Krishna is interested in a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. Of course, then we can say, well, what if that is a tulsi leaf? And what if that water is Ganga Jal? Then that was the strategy of Advaita Acharya to bring about the descent of Sri Chaitanya Avatar. He is appealing to Krishna, Tulasi Dalama Trena Jalasya Chulakena Va Vikrinite Atmanam Swam Bhaktebhyo Bhakta Vatsala. With a palm full of Ganga Jal and a tulsi leaf in the palm of Advaita Acharya, the heart of Advaita Acharya, appealing. That's why sometimes he will say in Chaitanya Bhagavat or echoed in Charitamritam, because he can be described variously as Krishna or Kiradakshai Vishnu. He says, you know, I was lying in the ocean of milk and I heard the calls of Advaita. It's all good and true. As Guru Maharaj said, like hypnotism, Krishna's showing in different ways. And it's coinciding with his desire, Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kiddusho Vaneva Swadyo Yenadbhuta Madhurima Kiddusham Bha Madhya Sokyam Chasha Mananubhavata Kiddusham Beti Lobhat Tad Bhava Dya Samajani Sachi Garbha Sindhu Harindu, that he wants to have a taste of what Radharani is tasting. Krishna, sometimes we're told about Krishna looking in a mirror and being charmed, but sometimes Prema Dharpan, Radharani's heart is a type of mirror also of Krishna Prema. Just as Srila Gurudev mentioned in his childhood, that when his father, who was like Guru, and singer of Vaishnava songs. And sometimes he said on an engagement, the whole village would go accompany him. And they'd be singing songs about Krishna, Balaram and the cowherd boys entering the Vrindavan forest, and Gurudev as a child. He said, I thought it was Goshta Leela. Like, come bring in the rear, he'd be walking as the one, he's saying, I'm thinking, like in the song, I'm one of the cowherd boys, and we're going with Krishna and Balaram in the forest. He said, but in this song, it's a song that Guru Maharaj, and remember in the beginning, Guru Maharaj told him, all these songs you learned from your father and all that, because Guru would say, it's sahajya on a certain level. And Guru Maharaj said, shelve that, and ticked off the songs of Bhaktivinod, Narottam Thakur, like these 30. He thought that should keep him busy for a few months or something. Gurudev learned them all in like a week. And Guru Maharaj was like, oh, this boy has some extraordinary capacity. But every now and then, he would ask him to sing some of these songs. One particularly with the line, Tungamani Mandire. He said, because as they're going, they see high on a hill, there's this house, and there's this beautiful light coming from the house, and the sky is so blue, and it's the house of Radharani. And then one of the last times in Navadvip, I asked Gurudev, what is that Tungamani Mandire? How would you? He describes it variously, but he said that Radharani's heart is like a lighthouse of Krishna Prem. So Krishna, he's, you know, param kashyapi, janavindasya, kashyapi pranayi janavindasya kutuki. Krishna's Kaviraj is quoting Rupa Goswami's Chaitanyastakam to explain to us who is Mahaprabhu. But always super respectfully giving credit to Vrindavan Das Thakur. He's the Vyasa of Chaitanya Leela. Whatever he said is perfect. He's nourishing everyone. But some remnants he left, I'm chewing those, and they're so tasteful. And if fearing Chaitanya Bhagavat would become voluminous, some things maybe he didn't describe fully, very cautiously, very respectfully, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami approaching the seva, and to give backing the authenticity of what he's expressing with regard to things that have never been expressed clearly and so lucidly and with such detail about Mahaprabhu, based on the notes of Srup Damodar, Ranganath Das Goswami, Srup Damodar, Mahaprabhu's always secretary, Raghunath Das Goswami, and with Mahaprabhu and Puri for 16 years. And Rupa Goswami, who's certified by Mahaprabhu as qualified to lead his line. So Krishna's Kaviraj, he's saying extraordinary things that have never been expressed publicly or in writing for the benefit of all the devotees. But lest we think that, you know, he's gone mad or he's manufacturing something, always Srup Damodar, Raghunath Das, Rupa Goswami. So he says, aparam kasyapi pranayi janabindasya kutuki rasotstama ridva madhuram upaboktam kamapiya. He's describing that Krishna serving all these gopis, and what is that an allusion to? But the Rasa Leela. Let me see. And Ramananda Sambhad, just two or three slokas referencing that to make the important point. And what was that? That Radha Madaya Hride Tatyaja Braja Sundari. And the Rasa Leela is in full swing, and we hear the singing of Vishakha. We know, as you know, Ramananda and Srup Damodar are singing all these songs and slogans for Mahaprabhu, and they're parallel in Krishna Leela. Vishakha is singing and dancing. How expert and perfect is that? And it's astonishing to everyone. Then Lalita singing and dancing, more astonishing. And they're saying, what could be any better than this? And we're told Srimati Radharani noticing that she's being given equal treatment. I mean, she is the original woman. But this is all, this is not false ego. This is Bhamabhav, from her heart. You think, oh, mixed group, so many, and I'm one of them. And then we're told, why is Gurumar's deity is Gandharva? Gandharva Govinda Sundar. Gandharva means Radharani, who's dancing and singing to enchant Krishna. Srimati Radharani, singing and dancing in the most astonishing, unparalleled way, canceling all others. Then she leaves in a huff. But Krishna is very happy, and we're told in various descriptions, something like millions of gopis, billions. How is that possible? How is it not possible for the Absolute? Rupa Goswami describes, Prakash Rupa, the expansions of Krishna into many forms, like for the queens of Dwarka, how one Krishna can be dealing with so many simultaneously. In Mahaprabhu's pastimes, one Mahaprabhu is in the group of all the Kirtaniyas. They think, oh, Mahaprabhu is dancing in our group. So these gopis are saying, Krishna is with me. One Krishna can be with everyone at the same time. So billions, trillions, but that Krishna notices the quality of this experience has gone down. It's not as tasteful as it was. And searching, what could be the cause of that? And searching, you see, his most beloved is absent. This is the way that Ramananda shows her superiority. In just one verse, saying, if tatyaja brajasundari, if he tyagged all the other brajasundaris who are inconceivably beautiful, we should remember, Ananda Chinmaya, Rasa Pratibhavitabhis, Tabiri, Agent, Eva Nijarupataya, Kalabi, Goloka, Eva Nivisat Yakilat Mabuto, Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bajami, and Lakshmi Sahasrasata Sambrahma Sevimaram. So they're unique. There are no two that are identical, so they're unique, and they're all chinmoy, chit shakti. It means spiritually, their forms are the outcome of their heart's spiritual beauty. That's their form. Just as I've said many times, in this world, the body's the biological expression of the soul's delusion. Right, the body, it's an organic shadow of consciousness. Right? One thinker, Susan Sontag, in one phrase she said, as consciousness is harnessed to flesh, right? Even she was like stumbled upon something there. As consciousness is harnessed to flesh, it's an organ, the body's an organic shadow of consciousness. Right? That's this world. Biological expression of the soul's delusion. But there, the swarup, muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vibhastiti, is the expression of the soul's devotion, the particular type of devotion they have to Krishna. And Guru Maharaj isn't mentioned in this regard as well. Sometimes, we've talked about musical instrument before in the spiritual world, their musical instrument, that may be part of their swarup. So, or the paraphernalia of their swarup. So they're endowed with full knowledge and understanding how to give vent to spiritual expression through that. The instrument is chinmoy. It's also spiritually conscious. Really, we have to reconceive things. Revealed truth, infinite perspective. So that we have to factor in, that who are these gopis, right? And what are their qualifications? And how can Krishna leave all of them for one? This is spiritual math. Right? He's showing us, you know, Guru Maharaj said in another place, quality gives us relief from mathematics. I mean, I'm just saying that here because he said it in another place. But it's in a sweet way, I mean it. Right? But he said, quality gives relief from math. Not to call them math, but to point to her qualifications. Mahabhav, Swarupini, Radha, Thakurani. They won't disagree with this assessment. So Krishna, he goes searching for her. That's why we have one breaker in search for Sri Krishna called the search for Sri Radha. He finds her, and then we're told for next life. Now we have the most advanced dog in Thailand and the most advanced cat in Thailand. She's usually doing seva nonstop at the ashram, but sometimes wants to associate with the devotees, be the object of their love and affection. And Krishna, after finding her, then we're told, Radharani is so happy, she's thinking, he left everyone for me. You know, like, she couldn't be happier. But after all this singing, dancing, I mean, she's exhausted. So if we're to go, they're going deeper and deeper in the Vrindavan forest. The other gopis are left behind. They're like in the madness of separation, searching for them. And in that madness, we're told, they're imitating pastimes. One gopi saying, I am Krishna and Kaliya, and I will chastise you. And other, they're in their madness, they're playing like that. They're inquiring from the creepers, the deer, the trees, everyone, have you seen Krishna? They're searching for Sri Krishna, reality, the beautiful reality, the sweet reality, happy, anandam. But they see also, they're following, oh, and here that gopi that he must have told from exhaustion, you must carry me because we no longer see her footprints. Radha, Padman, Kitadam, Vrindavan, Jaranam. The actual way to assess the soil, like people do soil assessment, of Vrindavan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that is embellished, chinmoy, Vaikuntya Prithivyadi Sakula Chinmoy, what to speak of Goloka. It's embellished with the lotus footprints of Srimati Radharani. They're seeing them, then suddenly they vanish. They think, oh, then he must have carried her. And we know. And he then sets her down. And Radharani's thinking, how fortunate he is. He left everyone for me. And opens her eyes, and Krishna has vanished. When one disciple of Srila Saraswati Thakur asked him about that, on the Brajamandal Parikrama, you know, apparently in some innocent way, oh, we find here, and then when at the thought of Radharani being abandoned, Saraswati Thakur became furious. Why have you mentioned that? There is no devotion to be found there. He wouldn't hear it. He's that What does it say in Govardhan? Doita das seva kunj. That's what it means. Sri Barsabhanavi Devi, that means Radharani, Barsabhanavi Devi, Doitaya, that's in one of the pranams of Gaudiya Math pranams of Saraswati Thakur. He can't tolerate even the remotest disregard toward her. So then everyone had to become quiet and change the subject going. But Guru Maharaj is thinking, to solve this apparent dilemma. So he's studying Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and what does he find? That Bhaktivinoda Thakur reveals Krishna hid himself in the kunj, and he wanted to see. He's already astonished by her. Otherwise, why did he leave everyone for her? But now he's thinking, like, she has so much love for me. What happens if she's separated from me? So he, from a hidden position, he wants to observe her in separation from Krishna. Radharani expressing separation from Krishna. Krishna viraha, right? And what he sees astonishes him. As we heard in the Brahmar Gita, and we hear the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, and soon the sannyas will come, that 24 years in Navadvip, Nimai Pandit, and then what is that, the Kazis, after he raised Mridanga, they say, they're talking about Nimai Pandit. He used to be called Nimai. Now he calls himself Gouda Hari. You know, uh-oh. Now he's Gouda Hari. Anyway, 24 years in Navadvip. And then takes sannyas. Then next 24 years of life, 6 years based in Puri, but traveling all around India, South India, etc. So that leaves 18 years. Then only in Jagannath Puri. And for, say, the first six, always doing Rath Yatra with the devotees. They're coming every year. But in the last 12 years, the shift is toward this internal culture. It's going on. We're told in the daytime and with the association of the devotees, that checks Mahaprabhu on a certain level, but at night he cannot check himself. But in the end, after Advaita Charja gives his release, so the mystic message saying, you know, rice is no longer in demand in the market. It's a mystical poem from Advaita. And he's saying that what you came to give, the whole place is saturated now, and Mahaprabhu thinks, oh, now I, as Guru said, after public service, private life. What does he want? He wants to go behind closed doors with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda, Lalita Vishakha, and 24 hours a day experience Radha Baba Duti Subalita, enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani, experiencing separation from Krishna. Not the pastimes of union, the pastimes of separation that he's doing nonstop for the last 12 years of his life, plunging the depths of Radha Baba and Jadi Gorna Hoita, Tabiki Hoita, Kemoni Daritam Dehe. Radhar Mahima Prema Rasasima Jagata Janata Gay. So this Guru Maharaj shows with Bhaktivinoda, actually Radharani is still in the premier position. Because Krishna only hiding himself to see what she will express, the madness of separation. And that Kutuki, aroused the curiosity in him. what it would be like to experience that, because he can only understand it from the position of an enjoyer, the Purusha. He can only understand this theoretically, cannot taste what she is tasting. So this marvelous transformation takes place. There's the calls for Advaita to save the world, and he has this internal purpose, and they coincide, and he descends at that time as Mahaprabhu. And as this gradually unfolds in the pastimes from Navadvip to Nimai Pandit, Gaura Hari, Sannyas, etc., he begins to praise the Braja Gopis and embrace their position and apparently find fault with Krishna, which causes some students to misunderstand him. They say, because he's chanting Gopi, Gopi, and someone says, well, why are you chanting Gopi, Gopi? You know, chant Hare Krishna, Prabhu. And Mahaprabhu is chasing after him with a stick. And they're all saying, this Nimai Pandit, he's really, since he's become Gaura Hari, he's, you know, losing it. He's, but he's in that man, means loving anger. It's not that he's decrying the position of Krishna. So, in different ways, Krishna, he wants to shine a spotlight on the devotee, the devotion of a particular devotee. And really, ultimately, Srimati Radharani. So sometimes, on the plea of one thing, he has another thing in mind. As we hear in Dwaraka, when Krishna says, tells Narada's visiting, and Krishna says, oh, I've got a migraine, I'm suffering so much. All right, what can help you? I need the fiat dust from a devotee, if that will cure me. Can Narada, approaching the Mahishigan, the queens of Dwaraka, who were super qualified, right? Rukmini, Satyavama, who else? Lakshmana. What are the other ones' names? The principal ones? I can't think right now, but. Jambavati, yes. And some others. Rukmini, of course, the principal queen. And Kalindi, I think, is the name of one, too. Anyway, he's approaching all these queens and saying, Krishna's suffering from an intense headache right now. He needs the fitas from a devotee to cure him. Please give your fitas. I was thinking, no, are you crazy? The dust from our feet you want to sprinkle on Krishna? You've lost your mind, you know, never. That's so offensive. Aparad, you go to hell forever. And besides, Narada, you're Narada. You're a great devotee. Give your feet. He can't digest that idea. Return, Krishna, I'm suffering so much. Narada, please, did you get? He said, no one's prepared to give. They're thinking of the consequences of themselves, what will happen to them. And he said, then go to Braja. Right? Sarvadharmam paritajamam ekam sharanam Braja. Braja sharanam. Go to Braja, to the Braja gopis. Narada goes to Vrindavan. And they say, oh, Narada, how is Krishna? Generally, he's doing well. But as fate would have it, right now, he's suffering from a severe headache. And he said, needs the feet dust from a devotee to save them. They're going, I don't know if I'm a devotee, take my feet dust. And he's saying, aren't you worried about the consequences of that? You mean eternal hell? Yes, eternal hell. They're saying, we may go to hell eternally, but if Krishna gets some relief, then it'll be for a good cause. Those are the leaders. Those are whom Mahaprabhu has come to glorify. They're prepared to go to hell to risk everything personally if that's the will of Krishna, if it makes Krishna happy. Right? They're not calculating their own position. Right? Like the Narayana Purak Sarve No Kutashtana Bibhuti Swarg Apavarg Nordakeshu Tulyarta Darshina. And the Chitraketu pastime, Shiva's praising him for this lack of concern for going up or down. Just forward with seva. So still we should be cautious how we represent things. There's a story where one disciple of Saraswati Thakur was in town and he did some preaching about Maya and everyone being on the, you know, the lap of Maya, and somehow it came out, he was telling everybody, you know, you're all the children of prostitutes. You know, and the whole town was offended. They were ready to run him out of town. Then they told Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj calmed everybody down, then explained in a nicer way, a sweeter way, more or less the same thing, but everyone was like, oh, all right, then we understand. You know. So, we don't want to misrepresent, but that's not going to cause us to not take the risk of extending Krishna conception to others. And also, what we have ostensibly in our favors, Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Ananya Chintayanto Mam Ye Jana Paryupasate. Yoga Kshemam Bahamyaham, where he says that if there's some deficiency in my devotees, I compensate that. And we know there's that story of, what is the name, Arjuna Charja, something like that. And he's thinking, well, no, he's crossing, it's not the Krishna personally does this. He's giving some other interpretation. And then we're told these boys come to his house and they're all battered and bruised, and his wife's saying, oh, boys, what happened to you? Your husband was beating us. What? He's such a cruel man. You know, because he scratched out this idea. They're saying, your husband, he beat us. Then they can understand the time. Krishna's saying, no, I personally compensate for their deficiencies. And we've seen the Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada was 100% pure, but then he was surrounded by so many. How we would say, you know, less than perfect vehicles of expression in the form of his budding disciples. So, And I, one of them, I actually, after a year or so, I thought, all these things I'm telling people, how much of it's actually correct or accurate? So that led me to study the books more carefully, listen to Prabhupada's tapes more carefully, so that instead of just saying anything and everything, or what I'd heard or couldn't verify, I was honing the accuracy of my representation. But that said, it's because of Prabhupada's purity and sincerity. It's as if Krishna was compensating for so many things devotees said and did, and somehow people made it through that and connected with the Krishna consciousness movement, even if it was less than what is desired. If Krishna wants to reveal himself, the lack of qualification of the agent can be immaterial. He can use someone to extend his connection to another person. They may even misrepresent something, right? The other person may get the right idea. That's even possible. This is not to, allow anyone to think that we shouldn't try to hear acutely and represent with extreme accuracy. But, you know, Mahaprabhu and with Sanatan Goswami in the Atmarama Slok, and we're told, when after so many days of instruction from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he thought Mahaprabhu, this Nimai Pandit who's taken sannyas now as Krishna Chaitanya, he's a very beautiful young man, 24 years old, seems, you know, like he needs some philosophical tutoring. So Sarvabhauma is trying to educate him about Vedanta. And after so many days, and Nimai Pandit just listening respectfully and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saying, you know, I know this is deep stuff, it's really heavy, but give some indication whether or not you follow what I'm saying. Nod your head or, you know. And Mahaprabhu said, oh, I understand Vedanta. I don't understand what you're saying. After like 5 days, you know. Oh, I understand Vedanta. I don't know. I don't understand what you're saying. And sorry, you could explain better than Mahaprabhu starts giving some explanation. Then Sarvabhauma thinks, Atmarama Sloka, and he gives 9 explanations. Gurumar said, an attempt to regain his prestige. So he's saying, you know, 9 levels of interpretation. And Nimai Pandit, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listening, and he gives 18 explanations that don't touch upon the 9 given by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then Sarvabhauma, he undergoes some internal transformation, and he realizes his divinity, and Mahaprabhu shows him the Shadbhuj Murti, right? 6 arms. Who was Ramachandra? Those 2, you know, the bow and arrow. Who was Krishna, flute player, has now appeared as Mahaprabhu. So it's in his Ishwar Murti. He's revealing his divinity to him. Later, when Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan Goswami wants to hear the Atmarama explanation that he gave to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Mahaprabhu says, you know, I'm a madman and Sarvabhauma's a madman. Batul, which sometimes is shortened as Baul. I'm a madman, he's a madman. 2 madmen were having a discussion and you want me to repeat that? I don't remember that. Saying, but I could say something fresh. And then he gives 60 explanations. Not 9, not 18, not 27, 60. And he said, oh, Sanatan, by your association, I feel another meaning awakening in me. He gives the 61st explanation. And Sanatan Goswami, saying, this is inhuman, is divine. And Guru Maharaj points out, it's according to his necessity, he's drawing 61. Right? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya will not mind a comparative analysis where Sanatana Goswami is shown to be in a superior position. So he draws 18, Sanatana Goswami 61, and Sanatana Goswami is praising Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu was saying, why do you praise me? Every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is infinite. Why only 61? And he quotes this verse, Ahang Vedmi Sukhaveti Vyasuveti Naveti Va. Where they say when Sridhar Swami's commentary on the Bhagavatam came, it differed from what was given previously. People were wondering whether it should be accepted as authentic or not. So they submitted to the Bharadraj deity of Shiva. And this reverberation came from the temple. Ahang Vedmi Sukhaveti Vyasuveti Naveti Va. Shiva was saying, I know the meaning of the Bhagavatam. Sukadev knows. And Vyas, he may know or not know. That's very interesting. Vyas has written the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's the agency through which it appears. And he's saying, he may know or may not know. I mean, what is passing through him? So Mahaprabhu says this as Sanatana Goswami. What's coming from Krishna, descending from Krishna through me, passing through me to you, I don't understand all of it. But what I'm sure of is Krishna wants to grace you through me. That I'm convinced of and certain. But what's passing through me may be beyond what I can understand. Vyas, he may know or may not know. Right? The agent, the agency, and the agent, that's also possible that Krishna, and I don't know if we always want to use the word compensate in this context, but Krishna is expressing himself through a particular agent, it may exceed the capacity of the agent. That's also possible. So devotees are inclined to share Krishna consciousness with others. It's like a tacit understanding. What's been freely given, the tacit understanding is it should be extended to others. It's not yours to keep for yourself, is another way to look at that. It's not your property. So, out of obligation, a sense of gratitude and obligation, to attempt to extend it to others. And Srila Guru Maharaj said, and you should not give anything less than what was given to you. That also. Given the Mahajans, they're studying Bhagavad Gita to try and they don't reach a point like, oh, I know Bhagavad Gita. It's not like that. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur Guru Maharaj saying, goes for a walk in the sky in the subtle plane taking Krishna Nam, comes in upon an assembly where Mahajans are assembled discussing the Bhagavad Gita sloka, apichet suracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak. Sarureva samantavya sambhag samyag vyavasito hisa kipram bhavati dharmatma sashvat shantim nigachyati konteya prati janihi name bhakta pranasyati. Ananyabhak is the qualifier. And they say, oh, seeing Bhaktivinoda Thakur, here's an ananyabhak bhakta, means a pure, unalloyed devotee of the highest type. They invite him to speak. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is instructing the Mahajans. And interestingly, it's can thematically be in line with what we're discussing. He's saying, what if a devotee does something wrong? He's saying, well, if he's Ananya Bhak, truly, then the story of the father says, Kipram Bhavati Dharma Ma Shashvat Shantam Nikashati. Quickly, Kipram Bhavati Dharma. He becomes dharmic. And Guru Maharaj said, in his explanation of this, that can't be a reference to the Ananya Bhak Bhakta. Because why? What is the qualification being a truly pure, unalloyed devotee, Ananya Bhak Bhakta? Is Sarvadharmam Parityajamami? They've already given up that in pursuance of Krishna, Krishna conception, and offering themselves to Krishna. So how can you say they will become dharmic? That would be a lower position than that which they've already achieved. So he's saying, what it is, it's a message to you who are observing that devotee. If you can believe, not just anyone can say, but if you can actually see them and believe sadhu reva samanta, see them as sadhu in the midst of whatever apparent discrepancy there is, then that'll be good for you. Because there was no harm for them to begin with. And later in the Bhagavatam, that sloka is there too. Swapada mulam bhajata priyasya. When some devotees had approached Guru Maharaj, they were critical of another devotee, and they thought, they cannot approach Saraswati Thakur because he won't take them seriously. They'll just get chastised. But they thought, if we convince Sridhar Maharaj to do that, then he'll take it seriously and he can represent our concerns. Somehow they talked Guru Maharaj into doing this. Guru Maharaj presented to Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur is very disappointed with Guru Maharaj. He said, I could expect something like this from the others, but not from you. And then Guru Maharaj realized he'd been duped. But as it was, that criticism of that devotee, Saraswati Thakur said many things, one of which is like, I am prepared to throw money in the Ganga if it's necessary for the service of Krishna. Whatever's being, you know, spent on him or in relation, that's nothing, you know. He's doing the desired seva that I want. He wanted an audience to extend Krishna consciousness to and other things. And anyway, Saraswati Thakur sometimes upset, said, all of you can go. I only need him. So many things he said. But then some time went by, like 3 months or so, maybe 3 to 6. And they're in South India. And at different places, Bhagavatams are open, you know. And Saraswati Thakur sees this Bhagavatam, it's already open, and he goes, here's the answer to your question. And Guru Maharaj said at first, I thought, what? I didn't ask a question. What question is Prabhupada talking about? And he thought, oh, for 3 months, because it's not a light matter also. That we have to understand. Right. It was immediately dismissed, but not a light matter. Staying with him for some time. And he goes, here is your answer. And Guru Maharaj looked in the Bhagavatam in the verse of Swapadamulam Bhajata Priyasya, this sloka, which is saying that if a devotee does something wrong, it's like the soldier or the policeman. Remember, this is just an example. Taking it that they're acting properly, the soldier and more, kill somebody, right? If they do that as a private citizen, they're culpable, they're punished. But if they do it in service, remember, it's an example. If they do this in service and it's clean, they're given a medal, right? They're not punished. Same thing for the policeman. But all that said, if such a person in the execution of their duty does make a mistake, what's sometimes called an honest mistake or an error, they're not punished for it. This sort of example is being given in the Bhagavatam. It's very profound. So, and in this regard, devotees or aspiring servitors, they may apply this to others or view others in this way. They do not self-certify. They don't apply this to themselves. They don't exempt themselves, exonerate themselves on the basis of these things. But in their vision of the others, they're willing, they take shelter of these things as to not think offensively of another devotee. Because Vaishnava Aparad can uproot the devotional creeper. But for themselves, they think, I'm disqualified, I have misbehavior, as a, you know. Jata Shradamat Katasu Nirvina Sarva Karmashu Veda Dukatmakan Kamam Prityagye Pyanisra. Krishna de Uddhava saying, yeah, my devotees sometimes, they like hearing about me, but they still have some lingering affinity for the mundane. But every time they're seduced by the mundane, they're remorseful, full of lamentation, repentance. They're embarrassed by that. But they have this faith in hearing about me, and that will save them and gradually spread its influence and become, you know, there will be a tipping scale where that becomes the major part of who they are, and the other part diminishes to the point of vanishes. And the last thing is, so you can see, it depends on what is the position of that devotee. And, you know, a baby, like we forget, little babies do all kinds of offensive things, actually. I mean, I hope I'm not shocking anyone. What I mean to say, it's not actually offensive, because what they're doing, if it was done by an adult, would be very offensive, is what I should say. And I'm not now going to give you a list of what those things are. Whatever you thought of is probably worse than what I was thinking of. But it's like, we'll say, let's use the example of putting feet. You shouldn't touch anyone with your feet. But if a baby puts his feet on the lap of another, there's no offense there. So someone in the baby stage, they do this, that, or that, you know, there's less, it's not offensive. But we can't use that as an out for, then you're in connection with the Krishna conscious movement for so many years and you're still using the baby should be forgiven example. Exempting yourself from, you know, adult responsibility, or, you know, some of this is just common sense. So it would be more forgivable in the beginning, and as time goes on, there should be some improvement in terms of representation, accuracy, sedantic, you know, substance behind, things like that. We see those pure devotees that we've known, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Srila Gurudev, they're not mean. Sometimes they say things that are cutting. That's there in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, the Chindanti sloka. I need to memorize that. It's saying that the sadhus, one meaning of sadhu is one who cuts sharply, right? With sometimes, you know, with language, things that they say, but it's not mean. And we say, agyana tmarandasya gyananjana salakaya chaksuna militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. The surgeon who's removing the cataract is not mean. and doing something bad. If you say like, somebody, you know, poked my eye with a sharp instrument, like, my God, unless it was a surgeon removing a cataract. They're two different things. Right? He's not malevolent or, you know, malicious. In fact, if someone has your welfare at heart, but then there's the surgical precision. And we know not all the doctors, you know, not everybody gives a shot that you don't feel. Right? Like something, you're done? Those are the people I like. Then there's the other ones, you go, look, what are you doing? You know, they keep like, you know, they're like, oh my God. That's why I used to say in India, I go to Bangalore, and they're like, I tell them straight in the beginning, I said, do not give me someone who's practicing. Like drawing blood because you needed to go to Russia and visa. I said, I'm serious, people. Do not give me somebody who's practicing. So what to speak of, you know, we have so many devotional practitioners. Say, well, I'm just practicing Krishna consciousness. I'm the new guy. So some things can be forgiven, right? But in time, I mean, everything I'm talking about, I'm number one guilty of all these things, but trying to improve by the grace of you all in time. But I notice sometimes they say some things that are very biting or terse or cutting, but I never got the sense it was malevolent or vicious or mean. That's the difference. And then again, we can expect, well, that should come with, you know, age, maturity, and not being envious of others. Kripam buddhi yat paraduka duki. The Vaishnavas, they're generally jolly group and individuals, but their suffering is seeing others for want of a connection with Krishna consciousness. That gives some pain to their hearts. They're not looking around for people to blast or to be mean to, or to demonstrate your superiority. Guru Maharaj is always saying, I'm a student, I shall forever remain a student. He said that at 92. Hare Krishna.